Welcome to Extra Points with your host, Cousin Sal, and his pals, Dave Damashek and Charlotte Wilder.
Hey, welcome to Extra Points, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with his good pals, Dave Damashek and Charlotte Wilder. It's Monday morning, raining here in Los Angeles. I mean, could the year get worse? Now we have to deal with rain. My God, actually rained hard overnight. Doesn't matter. Coming off a nice holiday week. How you guys doing?
Oh, great. It's not raining on the East Coast, so maybe that's the one time I'll have better weather than you guys.
We always rub it in about the good weather on the
All
East
right,
Coast.
Relax. We're,
Dave and I are like sick of it, to be honest with you. Dave, you are happier than most because you won your third fantasy. Let's just get this out of the way. Third fantasy title in the last 4 years. Is that right? That's impressive.
That's right. Also. Well, I'm glad we got to that near the top.
Oh, my
it's the sports headline of the day. That's how you're supposed to do headlines, or you start with those. Yes, it's been a blessed and especially festive Shecker season 2020. I know the year has been rough, but you know, it's all led to this big payoff. The Steelers are back. The Cool Cats never left the top of the fantasy football mountain. Truly, this is the year of the Cats, spelled with a K. They have won a remarkable third fantasy football title in 4 years. Whose head will go onto the chopping block in September? Of course, Cousin Sal, with his diabolical scheme about 12 or so years ago, decided that the winner of our fantasy league gets to kick someone else out at the draft. As you'll recall, last September, it was Bill Simmons. He paid a steep price, and who knows, maybe it'll be John Hamm this year, maybe it'll be the Mook.
How come we haven't had John Hamm on the podcast yet? What the hell is going on here?
And maybe it'll be one Cousin Sal who decided it was important to be sassy on social media towards me. And I mean that was a choice he made. And
what if you
a choice to make too
into the league so you can kick me out?
What? Yeah, that could be good. That could be good.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Why do you want to get kicked out? It doesn't feel good, Charlotte.
Think you'd like it, Charlotte. It seems cute in a vacuum, but it is not cute. It's very hurtful.
But I always forget to set my line. I'm a terrible teammate. Like, you don't want me in your fantasy league. So this way it means you, like, no one else. Well, I guess the whole point is that
All
you
right, you're
kick.
In. You're in.
All
then.
Right. Thanks.
You don't set a lineup.
Last year I kicked out, not for nothing, Sal. I don't want to go off into some different direction about sport. God forbid. Who was your favorite New York Met growing up?
I wasn't answering that, but you did nail it in the options you set out there. Well, let me just say a couple things. We have so much to get to in sports. First of all, Joel Solomon is side texting me here. That haircut went on the chopping block in reference to your hair, Dave.
I won't even say that.
Thanks, Joel.
I couldn't tell.
Keep your comments to yourself, right?
Joel's from the banks of the Three Rivers, and I may reach out to city officials to have him removed permanently for his sass. Don't you see, Joel? We're coming together right now. That's what they always say. It's peaking at the right time. The Steelers had their little swoon. Get on board, feller. Get out of the way. What did I say last week? Well, guess what? It's time to come together. Don't sash your pal. Okay, yes. The weird background that I have going here on Zoom does make my hair look especially bad. And listen.
It accentuates the spikes.
It's about to be plowed over by some ex-con from 1982. You can't see it, but Dave has the Patriots background when they cheated and set up a nice field goal for themselves before
Dave's
cheating was cool.
Yeah, Dave's pigskin history lesson today involved looking at 1982 when, was it Ron Earhart, I think is who? I don't remember who the head coach of the Patriots was, but in a 0-0 game late in the fourth, snow on the field in Foxborough ordered an ex-con to go snow plow a clean spot on the field so that their kicker could make a kick to beat the Dolphins. And so he did, proving that the Patriots' cheating ways are generations and generations deep.
That's right.
I said this before we started recording, but I'm like, why did you guys stop cheating this year? Like, this is the year we needed to cheat more. If you're not cheating, you're not trying. So clearly, you know, maybe if we'd done a little witch magic, we would have not been out of the play. I don't know.
It was a weird thing with Belichick. It made me think he didn't cheat to win, it was just too much of a challenge to, I don't know. He was just like bored with winning with a good team. So he had to cheat also. It didn't make sense, but now it does. So Dave, congratulations. You won our fantasy league. I don't know about kicking anyone out. Do you want nine teams? The 11th team quit. So now if you kick someone out, there's nine teams. I think that wrinkle went away with the trophy somewhere. So I don't know. We're going to have to figure that out. But
we don't have to do that. I hate fantasy football and I quit forever. I love the kick out rule as long as I'm not the one who gets kicked out. But if I kicked out, guess what? You can't fire me. I quit.
I want to thank you because he went and started his own league and I won that league yesterday. Nail biter with Aaron Rodgers and some CBS stat hogwash, and it went down, but I ended up pulling it out. Now, we weren't so lucky with our extra point. I know, I'm sorry. I'm stealing your terms. I'm trying to be just like you, Dave. You win a title, I win a title. We lost our extra points for extra pay parlay in bizarre fashion. Now, we hadn't really suffered a really bad beat. We had to sit through, what's his name?
This killed me. I hated this.
Kicker for the Vikings. But so we go, what is this? Saturday night, the day after Christmas, right? Charlotte gets us started Friday on Christmas with the Saints Vikings over. I don't know what it was, 52 and a half. It didn't matter. The Saints almost got it on their own. 52 and a half. Good job by you. So Dave and I take the same game. I have the Raiders boosted to plus 4.5. Looking pretty good the whole time. Never losing. Tied for a little bit, but never losing. And Dave had under 50 and a half. Looking really good. Long drives. To a punt, 3rd and 3, 4th down, punt. 22 points in the last 4 minutes. And I felt like I was, and you guys could lie. Charlotte, you could lie. You could say you were watching this game. I was the only one watching this game live. I'm texting you guys, and Charlotte's like, oh, football's weird. I'm like, okay, I know she's not watching.
No, I said football's bad.
Okay. Football's bad. Weird. Great. You're up.
Yeah, I super wasn't watching.
She wasn't watching. Dave was not responding. I was like, this is his loss. He's going to be, he's not watching. He had an excuse. You were Legoing. What did you say?
Oh, yeah. It was, like I say, it was a banner stretch at the house with fantasy and with pro football. And I think the highlight of the holidays was all the Lego building we did over here. Me and Hoover Damashek were cobbling together. He has a great castle, a Harry Potter Lego castle. And we were really doing some banner work on that. So I had to hit the pause on the TV. So I was 45 minutes to an hour behind and watching it and feeling like this is in the bag and I don't like the spot. Pull back the curtain. I often will do that because, if you have kids, often that this is what makes you a good parent is to DVR something and just watch it a little later.
Tell me, because I'm far from that. I'm screaming. I don't care what's going on. When Ryan Fitzpatrick completes the
sounds like
most
kicking over Legos.
Oh, it was the most ridiculous. I mean, did you see that, Pat? It has to rank up there in the top three most ridiculous receptions.
It still didn't occur to me. As Aguilar was running down, I still thought, I mean, okay, well, great. So that's the game. Every time it really was bet sweats or bad beats or whatever. It really was the all time or it should be among the all timers because the progression of scores, the back and forth of it, I still never thought, wow, we're in trouble until the jive with the Raiders at the goal line and whether or not they were going to score a touchdown or not. And then it was compelling. It was fascinating and horrific and painful to watch. Are they going to run it in? Then they just play for the field goal and you're like, all right, we're fine. We're going to survive this one. They're going to just kick the field goal stupidly, even though they should punch it in here.
No, why?
The guy just missed an extra point.
But he made the kick, so it's not stupid. If he didn't make the kick, you could point. But he made the kick. All you have to do is not pull the guy's face mask off with 19 seconds left, and you win the game.
There were some good memes from that.
Or cover the guy too.
Yeah, well, that's
they did rip.
Keep everything in bounds and don't rip the quarterback's head off. And you're good. And we lost 26-25, which puts it over 50 and a half, right at 51.
That's so rude.
It sucks. I wanted our third parlay to hit.
I feel horrible about it. I told everybody. I have various text chains, as I'm sure we all do with this, that, and the other. And And I was really, overall, I did really well with the bets and with Cal. It bothers me when the one I say, what's your number one pick? Certain people will text me and say, I was like, the under on Saturday night. That's the one. That's my favorite one. And Baltimore, too.
Well, I don't want to drive you crazy, but I went back to our text chain. It was between that and the Saints, I think. And you're like, you know what? And then I was like, we don't want the side and the total. And then I'm like, oh, well, Charlotte took the over in the Saints game, so it won't matter. All right, which do you like better? You're like, well, actually, I like the under better than the Saints. Would have been three.
Well, the other one, by the way, yeah, I'll tell you this. Yeah. I did say Baltimore at the time that
we couldn't pick from that game, though. We only could do the
right
Friday,
right
side.
Right, but they were given 10 and a half, right. and they took care of that, got a little close there. But and the other one I really liked was Atlanta plus 11, so I felt very good except for that one. That had to ruin the whole weekend, that game. I thought, man, that's a signal of a terrible start to the football Sunday, was what happened Saturday night, and it ended up quite the opposite. But that Saturday night really soured things. My heartfelt apologies, everybody.
No, Dave, look, we all play our part in these things.
No, you nailed it, Charlotte. But you know, but the other thing is, sorry, may I say, is we're very early on. We're on the first couple pages in the first chapter of the novel. But is there now any doubt? You can sugarcoat it all you want, but the Dolphins took the wrong guy, right? I mean, why? What are they doing?
They took the wrong guy, but I don't know why everyone's afraid to say that Tua should not be the quarterback for the rest of the way. Like, it's obvious to me. It's not like the announcers are really going out of their way to say, oh, Dolphins have a great thing in this 1-2 punch with Tua and Fitzpatrick. It's like, no, it's not like Fitzpatrick is terrible in the first half and you have to save him for the second half. Like Tua, and I think it's because they're letting him play or not letting him play based on the injury. He's a running quarterback. He did a lot more with his legs. And you got guys saying like, oh, you know, look, he's taking what they're giving him. And then he's ended up with like 4th and 3 every time. Then you have to make a decision. Look, you're probably not going to win the Super Bowl. If you want to make the playoffs, you want to win one playoff game, Fitzpatrick is your guy, I think. I don't know
why. Do you think, though, that this is the kind of thing? Like, is it fair to say they took the wrong guy after not even a full season? Like,
Not really.
You know, that to me feels a little bit like, all right, I mean, Tua's been really good at times. He's shown flashes of what he could be. So I feel like maybe if he keeps getting developed, it's possible that this turns around. I mean, you look at Josh Allen, he wasn't exactly lighting the world on fire his first two seasons.
Right. Absolutely. But for this year, what people are like, no, what is Flores doing? You know, 10 for 13 for 46 yards is not doing it. And Dave, we'll get into your Steelers, but you have to throw downfield in this league to succeed. You just have to do it. We'll get into it. I just want to, this is not a competition by any means, but our Johnny on the spot, Michael Cicoli, brought these numbers up. I'm 11-5 in the extra points for extra pay parlay. Dave 9-7, Charlotte 7-9. Again, not a competition.
God, I have a Jeff Fisher record.
It's not a competition. Not yet.
We're not going 7-9.
Oh, right. Well, you have an extra week to go 8-9, which he didn't most of the time. But
I say this as a friend of Jeff Fisher. So,
of course, we all do. I don't know what's going to be. We have at least one more. We're going to have to try to hit it. And it's
only 9-7. That stinks. I was sure I was better than that.
Well, you were 9-5. I think you lost your last two.
That's
right?
True. Yeah. Speaking of 9, though, Sal's going for the Romo with his next pick here, right?
That's what I was going to say, Sal. I think the reason that our parlay keeps failing is because you're hogging all of the good bets.
Oh, is that what
juju
it is?
For the Fox NFL on Fox picks.
Yeah, yes. I've hit 9 in a row. Thank you for mentioning this on the Thursday night or whatever pregame they put me on. And I think that's it. I don't think they're having me back for the playoffs. I was like, do you want to keep this going? They're like, yeah, we'll see.
Why?
I don't know. It's crazy to me. I'm hired to make picks on the game.
Well, now maybe our parlays will win.
Yes. I'm doing it for the better of our parlays.
Yeah.
Dave, Mazel Tov on that stretch.
Thank you.
And Mazel Tov on the bit, too, because...
that Mazel Tov on the stretch marks, you mean.
Well, listen, I really do think... I really do think that it made me pause. People always react like, Baker Mayfield, is he a good, is he actually funny? Peyton Manning's funny in those commercials and so on and so forth. Aaron Rodgers, so-so, I guess, in the Patrick Mahomes, not very funny in his ads. A new one now, Troy Aikman, is he a better Cowboys quarterback comedic performer than your pal Tony Romo? He was very funny in your bit. We're going to have to figure that out,
too. Oh, my gosh, he was great.
He was really good.
Here's a question, though. Wait. Can we set the stage? First of all, for anyone who didn't see it, it was you calling Troy Aikman your best friend, and then Troy pops up on a Zoom, and he's like, why are you talking about me? And are you guys friends in real life?
No. I've
Do you know him?
Just like in the bit I mentioned, I've probably not said hi to him, and he like nodded just to be a nice guy in my direction.
Did you talk at all after doing that thing together?
We talked about 40 seconds before and I thanked him for 20 seconds after. And the only note I gave him.
That makes it so much funnier that he actually doesn't.
I know. It's great. But the only note I gave him, Charlotte, was, and not that I'm any, I'm a terrible, terrible actor, but I said, hey, just cut me off. You know, don't let me finish my lines. Just cut me off. Because that's how people speak in real life, right? It's not sitcom-y where you get a line and then you pause for 4 seconds and then you, people are cutting each other off all the time. That's why I love Friday Night Lights. That's how it was. They shot it like that. They made sure. But anyway, he was very good. Thank you for helping out. Yes, 9 in a row. I don't know if I'll get a chance at 10 this year. Very packed schedule, Fox pregame over there. But Dave, let's talk. I don't know what to say. I think we could pretend, you and I could pretend that my Cowboys and your Steelers, we could see this coming, but I definitely didn't. I don't think you did. What turned it around, especially for the Steelers? I mean, it turned around in 10 minutes. That was it. It went from a team that was like, all right, well, they're going to make the playoffs and they're going to score 14 points and then lose to whoever, the 6 or 7 seed, to, oh my God, they're a force again. They know how to throw downfield. And I think it starts with throwing downfield, but you have a better, you have your finger on the pulse there. No?
I want to not launch into some, 27-minute monologue because I have many thoughts about it. I first of all, watching them get gutted, the defense get, you know, trucked by Jonathan Taylor in the first half. The Colts didn't have their two tackles. TJ Watt, if not for a TJ Watt play that put them right on the doorstep, which they get a penalty and they end up punching it in. It would have been an abject blowout at the half.
Right.
And then on the other hand, you kind of try to look back at it, and for all the, we do things in broad strokes. It people who talk into microphones or whatever, like, this is the state of this team. And I guess you kind of ignore the good parts to make your overall point that things are really bad or vice versa about a team or a player. I guess if you kind of look back, Roethlisberger had his moments against the Bills. He had a bunch of drops in the game against Washington a month ago now, and that would have made things look... You can make a case that maybe things were never so dire in Pittsburgh.
No, but they were second to the Jets on 3 and outs.
So, I know, but exactly. It's like, well, what are we talking... And even against the third string of the Bengals, there were a couple of moments in the second half. There was like, maybe Roethlisberger. But what's weird is the inconsistency of the will to do it. Sal, we've talked about this a lot. I don't know what's going on with Roethlisberger. I don't know whose choice that is. Is that a philosophical choice that we're, no matter what, we're throwing it underneath and I don't care what? Is it a lack of faith in the offensive line? Is it Roethlisberger's just straight up lack of desire to take hits at this point in his life? All understandable, all makes sense. And then he just comes out slinging it, you know, taking that 5-step drop or whatever you call it when he gets, out of shotgun, the shotgun equivalent of a 5-step drop. And he hits that back foot and slings it. Like there are very few human beings in December of 2020 that are as lethal or as scary if you're playing against them as Roethlisberger is. And man, he was just slinging it, and some beauties, the deep ball to Diontae Johnson for the touchdown. And, the throw of the game was the old school Roethlisberger pump fake. And then floating it over the second line of the defense to Juju in the end zone. I mean, it was, that was The thing is, I don't want to, this isn't a Steelers podcast, but I will ask Joel, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. Well, I mean, we can make it that if you want to.
I don't know. I have a choice.
I'm going to hop off. So,
well, listen,
have a good
time. Charlotte can do what she wants, but Sal understands that, you know, now there's an 8 month long walk through the snow to September before I have to kick somebody out. And
right,
you might
want
to placate me by letting me talk about the Steelers for half an hour to
spread. I told you, let me in. You can kick me out. It's an easy solution.
I got to say, that was one of my, that was probably one of my 10 favorite Steelers regular season victories of my lifetime.
Well, so Charlotte, here's what I don't understand. I think there's stuff that goes on in the locker room that we're not hearing. I think Kyler Murray and Tua and Ben Roethlisberger talk to their coaches, say, look, I know I could, Ben says, I know I could sling it down the field. I know I could, if I have extra time, I could do damage. I just don't want to take the hits. I know Tua and Kyler Murray is like, look, I know I can run for first down on 3rd and 5, 9 out of 10 times. I just don't want to take the hits. So devise a game plan around that. That has to be going on because what we see, what we're watching on TV or at the games, it doesn't make any sense based on what we've seen in the past. And I don't know if this means Big Ben is back. He's like, screw it. I'll take some hits. This is what I'm doing. I have to show off. And if we're going to turn it around, we have to do it right now. Does this go on?
I mean, that's the kind of thing that to me, that would make sense under pressure like this. You know, you can't lose again if you're the Steelers. So maybe that's a moment where Ben's like, okay, well, if I have to take a hit, like, now's the time. I also think, though, that Dave, you're right. I think that if you look at the stats, TJ Watt has 15 sacks this year. Like, the defense hasn't been great a lot of the time in these losses, but then there are these flashes of, you know, they do come through when you have to, like you said. And so I think that Ben is, I don't know, all these older guys, I don't blame them for not wanting to get hit, but I really do wonder if on some level, it's either what they're saying in the locker room or if it's just this like deep well of competitiveness that even if they are more fragile than they used to be, they just can't get over, you know, where Ben's like, okay, fine, I'll do it. You know, like I'm in so much pain, but like, let's go. Right. And I think that when the stakes get higher, you do kind of see that happening more. I mean, same with Tom Brady recently, like they're kind of, you're seeing these flashes of what they were. And I mean, Tom's still really good. So maybe that's not fair there, but with Ben, I think that this game, that certainly is a possibility.
All right, Charlotte's on into older guys. We got it. That's fine.
It's kind of like, it's, you know what it's a little bit like? Is like Rocky Balboa fighting Lefty in Balboa Creed 2. You know, Mickey decided, here, we'll throw him a curveball. You'll fight Lefty or you'll fight Righty. And then right before the 15th round, a little late in my book, Balboa should have flipped back to Lefty a little sooner than the 15th round. That was a little bit crazy.
Building drama for three.
I see. I guess so. But anyway, I guess it was between the 14th and 15th rounds, and it really had that kind of feel to it. Like, all right, no more jive, guys. All right, I'm going back to Lefty here. That's basically what I went to. What it felt like. But even then, they, similar to the Bengals game on Monday night, there was a sense of like, okay, no more nonsense here. No more hogwash, as Cousin Sal would call it.
That's right.
It's not, now we got to flip the switch and there's no more wiggle room. And they drive down the field and I legitimately was saying, this makes me angry. Why are they not, as they're moving down the field, like why are they not doing this every series? He's a, but so then here, they get but stuffed here, at the goal line, and you're like, okay, well, that's the game. They at that moment, when they got stuffed at the goal line, it was season's over. This is done for. That's. I feel bad for Roethlisberger now because Claypool dropped a touchdown pass, but that's that. That's who this team is. On to 2021, and then all of a sudden, rally. What in hell?
So what does this mean, though? Because let's put it on Eastern time. So at 1:30, it looked like the Steelers were done and the Browns were still close with the Jets. So it's like, oh my God, the Browns are going to win this division because the Browns are going to beat up on the Steelers in week 17. And it ended up being the Steelers did the Browns a huge favor by beating the Colts. And now they're number 8 on the outside looking in and are about to do them another favor because it looks like, according to FanDuel and everyone out, it looks like the Steelers are going to sit everyone in that Week 17 game. I mean, they're a 7-point underdog right now. So they're going to do them another favor. Browns should have an easy time in beating them and securing a playoff spot. They won't win the division because the Steelers have that already. It's just so weird how it all turned around, right? And now they're doing them a favor, and they might meet in the playoffs in the 3-6 matchup. So it might be to their detriment. So this is a lot to handle all of a sudden.
I'm having trouble keeping the math straight. Am I crazy in thinking that the playoff picture keeps just being totally wacky and everything? I mean, does it always shift this much? Am I being an idiot?
Yeah, we need Kornacki. We need wacky Kornacki to come on here.
No, but really, does this year feel like a little more wacky than usual? Yeah. Or am I...
Well, it's not always shifting. Like right now, it's the same as it was an hour ago.
Hour
from now. But no, you're right. I thought the AFC would be, and if the Dolphins had lost, it would have made it easier. And if the Ravens had lost somewhere in there, it would have made it easier. But yeah, it is bizarre adding that seven team and taking away a bye has made it very strange down the stretch.
I think long term, first of all, I'm kind of hoping that the 2-1 seeds have too easy a time in getting to the Super Bowl so that the football gods or the handlers of the playoff structure will look at it and say, this is a too prohibitive an advantage we're giving to the best team. Although I do believe in meritocracy, as we always talk about, I do think you deserve some edge for winning your division. I just think it should be spread a little bit deeper than just one seed. That's pretty heavy. It's a pretty steep drop off to 1-2. But I actually go against what Charlotte just said there. It was surprising when you said a couple weeks ago, Sal, that you thought like, everything's going to be clear by week 7. This is one of the best times of the year.
Not week 7. I didn't say week 7.
Week 17. I'm sorry.
Come on.
Week 17. Sorry, that was hogwash on my part. I this is one of my favorite events of the year. And I love the simplicity of the ESPN playoff tracker, and you just punch in scenarios and it yields it for you. I'm terrible at math, and I always loved with the newspaper going through like, but if this team wins and then that team loses, then this team's going to have to go up there instead of getting a home game and all of that. And I just can't get over the irony that there's a seventh team now on both sides of the bracket, and we're still going to get, people always point at, And I off the top of my head, I guess I can't summon a good second here. But the idea that, well, I'll tell you, well, actually, I just thought of one. But is the Matt Castle Patriots missing the playoffs at 11-5? People always hold that up. It's like, that team didn't go to the playoffs. How crazy that they missed the playoffs. You're going to have a seventh team in the playoffs, and some great team is going to end up missing out. I mean, if the Colts or Ravens miss out, they really, I still hold them up along with the Bills as the teams most likely to beat KC. And it's tracking that it a very good chance that one of those teams is going to end up missing out. I think the Ravens are now in.
I want to talk
about
that.
But if the Colts miss, what in the hell?
Yeah, it is. Well, first of all, I do think a bunch of teams, by the way, I was talking about it with Simmons, Chiefs fans are now maybe top 3 or 4 worst. I look at my timeline. I'm friends with Trevor.
It happened that quickly?
Yeah, but it has to happen, right? Like, if your team is that good, eventually your fans are going to be so obnoxious and everyone else is going to hate them. But now it's like, God forbid you say anything about Patrick Mahomes. And they're like, oh, come on. We're just going through the motions. Like, really? You're going through the motions. Mahomes forfeited his MVP award. He was a 6-1 favorite. He figures, I'll throw some end zone picks just to make it interesting, and I'll lose that award and potentially the one seed, depending on what everyone else does around me. But I think they could be beat. I think this is now 2 months of, I don't want to say struggling with teams. Maybe they're a little toying with them a little bit, but we may not see 2 30-point blowouts in the AFC. I think there's a few teams that could give, and Dave mentioned a couple, one might be eliminated, that could give them trouble. I mean, it's every single game that somebody, a team doesn't have to put a game plan like the last one to take them to the limit here. Anyway, Mahomes, I think, cost himself him and his 35-step drop. Didn't work out so well yesterday, and they won. They barely won. What, they win 17-14? Koo misses the field goal. Otherwise, that game's going overtime.
I mean, and when you're 7-7 with the Falcons through most of the game, that's like, That's not good. It does. Chiefs fans, it's funny to me that it happened so quickly because I feel like Kansas City's Midwest, right? Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. As opposed to what?
I don't know. I'm terrible with geography, and I called Buffalo upstate New York, and a bunch of Bills fans were like, "It's Western," and I was like, "Okay,
yeah." The New York upstate New Yorkers get crazy. Central,
right?
New York,
so I was like, "Whatever." Okay, I'm gonna. No, you're right about that.
Kansas City is close to the bayou, but I think it's considered Midwest.
So. All right. Well, that's okay. So Midwesterners are nicer than New Englanders. So I just thought that they would have a few more seasons. And Patrick Mahomes isn't quite as, you know, he's not doing like wacko avocado smoothies. And, you know, there's not the whole cheating thing yet. I mean, we'll see. Andy Reid is not Bill Belichick. Like, I really thought they had a little bit more time before they
maybe it's just me. Maybe it's me. But the ones I'm dealing with, they're so sensitive. I know Schwartz, too. Schwartz actually is one of these people, I think.
Best thing about Jeff Schwartz going right now is that he would have you believe that he's not a Chiefs homer.
Yeah, right.
Well, I say bad things about the Chiefs. Yeah, it doesn't mean that you're not rooting for them.
That's fine. It's his brother play.
It's fine. He just gets very upset when other people are homers. And the other thing, funny thing, by the way, follow Jeff Schwartz on Twitter if you want to see somebody. You can. He has, as they call it in high stakes poker in our circle, Sal, it's a tell. You can tell who he bet on in any given game by how PO'd he gets about the decision.
Well, I'm the same way, yeah.
Yeah, he gets very cross. He's like, I'm not saying anything that's inaccurate, though. And I'm like, I'm not saying you are. I can just tell you're angry about it.
Yeah, I'm a child. I'm a child when it comes to that, too.
But you're right. But by the way, as I always say, the worst fan bases, generally speaking, are the nouveau riche, which means the Tennessee Titans fans. That's right. Mm. The Tennessee Titans fans are so obnoxious. And so are the Browns fans are like, as I always say, listen, just stay at the kiddie table until you do something. Just don't. I know you want real bad Browns fans. I know you want recognition, but you must do something first. You cannot beat a mediocre team and then get Baker anointed. Like, he's back, everybody.
Here's the thing, though, Dave, is that if you've had nothing for so long and then you finally get something, you can't blame people for, you know, it's like, this is all they have, man.
Yeah.
But you have to do something. You can't,
but to them, this is something.
It's not. No, it's not. It is not something. It is not.
It really does
right
look
now. It's blending with the background. It's really.
I know. I can't help it.
Max
Headroom
or something.
Can I tell you that my hair in person? It's really not so bad. Now,
I really
there's
think
a bald
the Zoom,
spot.
The green screen isn't helping you out, Dave.
I know it's not. I should just go hat. But anyhow.
I don't even screw around. I got a bad stuff going on under here.
No, this hair. Listen, for a man of my advanced age, this head of hair is a strength, not a weakness.
You're
and
doing
yet
all
the
right.
Zoom ain't helping me out here. By the way, I dye my hair. I don't dye my hair. People have accused me of it. Never dye my hair.
Wow.
Yeah, look at that. See, little salt and pepper. Very much like George Clooney on ER, I would say.
Hey, I want to talk to Browns real quick before, and then I want to get to the division. Forget about these teams that are going to be left out of the playoffs. There's a race for a team that's going to win 6 or 7 games is going to be a division champ. I want to get that in a second. Real quick, though, the Browns were screwed. We should say they had 4 receivers had to sit because of COVID. Now, I don't want anyone to get COVID. I don't like hearing it as it pertains to football, but as this is going on, Dave, we're in the hub of COVID right now in Los Angeles. Now people we know are getting it. People's parents, we're hearing a lot more about people. It's hitting home. And the NFL, I was thinking, it just went away in the NFL. I was like, what the hell is going on here? They were tested, positive tests in 7 different games were affected every week. And now when it's rearing its ugliest head in the country, we're not hearing anything about it. And then the Browns like, okay, there were 4 guys in a hot tub or something, and we're going to have them sit because one may be positive and the 3 were too, other were too close. Like, in a way, it made me feel good about, all right, the NFL is being somewhat responsible because I felt like they abandoned all testing or something. It didn't jive with what's going on with the rest of the country. And as a result, Baker had to throw to Austin Hooper 73 times, and it didn't work out for him against the Jets. But I don't know, just a thought.
I feel like, I'll tell you, the goal was to get the season in full completed. Well, now you're at the finish line, and they don't want to avoid any games. But if you're the Browns, let's say you're the Steelers about to have to go and play in Cleveland, the Browns. If there is any indication, and I know there's no... There's nothing that indicates that there's transmission going on the football field. But still, in the name of, playing it as safe as possible, if there are more positives for the Browns, do you then say, when you know it's going to be the Steelers' backups anyway, do you punish the Browns if you're the NFL and just be like, guess what, Browns? You did this at the wrong time of the year. You're out. Colts, Dolphins, Ravens, you're all
in. Nah, no way.
Screw. No. I know they wouldn't do that.
No. They didn't do it with the Titans. They didn't do it with any
other. I'm just saying now that you're at the finish line, that you're like, let's just wash our hands. Let's not get any positives. Yeah. Let's not risk anything here.
Washing your hands is good advice.
A powerful message.
Yes. No.
But we can't deprive the world of Mason Rudolph versus Myles Garrett. That's right. What we're going to get, by the way.
I mean, it sucks, though, that for on the Browns, like, you can't even make fun of the Browns for Browning because it was COVID.
Yeah,
and
I know.
It's like, and I did, I watched Baker's presser after because I don't know, I've sort of been enjoying them. And after wins, you know, he'll do quotes from movies or whatever. But he was like, look, you can't speak bad. Like, if there's a loss here, put it on me because these guys came out from the practice squad. They did their best. And I mean, it sort of just sucks so much that, you know, even talking about these games, it's like, you can't pretend that that was normal. You can't pretend that that was just like, oh, right. Well, you know, the Browns did it again. It's like, no, Baker literally had no one to throw to.
How about it was a hot tub situation and Odell isn't even involved? Like,
that's crazy to me.
Yeah. So the AFC North is the second weirdest division in terms of COVID and everything that's gone on with the Steelers. I mean, every team was hit except Cincinnati. Joe Burrow's out. Like, it was a very, lot of storylines in the AFC North, many of them COVID related, but nothing's going to top that NFC East. And right now, my Cowboys, they're not favored to win the division, but them winning the division is the favored result. They are a 2.5-point favorite over the Giants. At MetLife, and the Eagles are a 1.5-point favorite over Washington. NBC took this game. God bless them. This is the featured game of the week. The last game of week 17 is Jalen Hurts against Tyler Heinicke or even worse, Alex Smith or Dwayne Haskins. We don't know what's going on in that Washington situation, but my Cowboys are somehow favored in a way, if you look at it game by game, to win this division, and I can't explain why. I don't know why Ezekiel Elliott's all of a sudden came back to life, much like the Steelers' offense. I guess Andy Dalton's in sync with his star receivers. They're very talented, but every one of the last couple games is one that they could have blown in November, and I don't know. I don't know what to root for here. I don't want Tampa coming to Dallas and beating us by 28 in that wild card game.
Oh, you do, too. Come on.
I do. And by the way,
you don't want that result, but you want the opportunity to see what happens, especially against 43-year-old Tom Brady and the storylines and bring him out the Big D and be relevant in January. I get it.
It's embarrassing.
It is absolutely embarrassing, but you can also make excuses about you lost your franchise QB and you had more injuries to an already decimated O-line.
Coach died. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, crazy. Listen, you can make excuses about that and people will forgive it. Yeah. I mean, but again, there are a couple of overarching points that I know I have made a million times already. One, keep almost any guy who cuts the figure, combine achieves the minimum standards to be defined as a pro football level quarterback. If you keep that guy clean, most of those guys will make plays versus if you heat them up, they won't make plays. There are three or four people that defy a bad O-line and still are productive. But Andy Dalton is in the former group, not the latter. You keep Andy Dalton clean with those collection of pass catchers and a run game to boot, he's going to be good. He can beat you. He can beat Tampa That's a free fine. Instance, and but we allow Giants
30,
too.
Still over 30 points a game allowed. I mean, Sean Lee starting on defense at this point is a joke, but they're keeping it together and somehow advancing. And in this race, week 17, Charlotte, you've made fun of this decision, this decision and this division ad nauseum. I mean, why not? Everybody's up for it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back and forth. You have Michael Gallup had, what, 107 receiving yards in the second half?
Yeah.
Alone. Like, these guys just sort of get hot at different times. I don't know how you sort of emotionally prepare yourself, because literally anything can... Like, I cannot believe that the Cowboys... Remember a few weeks ago, maybe months ago at this point, when you were like, I'm just glad they're out of it. I'm glad I don't have to think about it. Like, in what world have you ever thought that about your team that sucks and then been like, oh, wait, they're going to win the division? I mean, well, I'm a little bummed because now the Giants aren't... It's not looking good for my New York guys that I picked. But, I mean, I guess congrats. Yeah,
it's a toss-up game right there with Dallas and the Giants. And Giants certainly aren't going to do Dallas any favors. And, by the way, another storyline to this. I don't know. I still haven't looked. Was Freddie Soup Kitchens calling the plays for the Giants yet last week?
Oh.
Because I bet Jason Garrett comes back this week. And that'll be the dagger right there, right? But a nice nice Cowboy send-off as Daniel Jones scores 40, you know, goes for 40 points leading that offense.
God, that'd be perfect.
Of course. I mean, I'm just waiting for it.
But I think the great story, and it sets up beautifully for Sunday Night Football and for pro football and all of that, is to have Alex Smith return. They dip with the Dwayne Haskins shame and Heinicke and all of that. If Alex Smith comes back and punctuates his comeback player of the year campaign with a victory to send Washington to the playoffs, that's going to be a nice storyline. I also
and
think
with
though,
Rivera having cancer and
also
doing,
true.
You know,
yes.
Like
and yeah. Led and all that being led by Maroon 4. The potent front four in the nickname that I have anointed their defensive front with. I also think that, again, I this is what people always talk about the quarterbacks. You can never go wrong talking about quarterbacks. It's always interesting in the quarterback league of the 21st century. But I really kind of feel like on some level, this is the big test, is the Giants and Cowboys, Danny Dimes versus Andy Dalton. I think it's going to be a powerful statement about these teams. Just because you use your first round pick on a quarterback doesn't mean he has a first round pedigree. Also, paying a guy like he's your franchise for the long term does not magically make him into being that guy or give him the powers to do that.
No, look at Carson Wentz.
I'm referring right. That's exactly right. That's precisely right. That's one great example. Kirk Cousins up in Minnesota. Jared Goff with the Rams. This is a big one for the Giants. If you don't have your guy, all this hand-wringing, what's Washington supposed to do now? They're not nearly in they're not in as bad a spot as the Eagles are, because they overcommitted to Carson Wentz. Okay, you screwed up. It happens. It's a 55-45 kind of prop when you draft a quarterback in the first round that he's going to work out. 60-40, let's say.
Right.
Dwayne Haskins ain't the guy. All right, not ideal that we wasted a pick there, but you must move on. Same goes for the Giants.
But the problem,
they
the problem,
not
Dave, and
that they
I'm,
have
I'm
the
with
guy.
You with
Dimes
this.
Dimes is not the guy. So
the oversaturation, thing. I get it, but also I'm looking at terrible quarterback play every week in like four or five games. So I don't know if it's oversaturated, and I also don't know. Like, you're not in a vacuum. You can make that statement. Like, all right, if Haskins isn't your guy, you'll go get him in a couple of years. You got to get lucky to be in that range to draft one of the top three quarterbacks. You can't have 7 wins. You can't have 6 wins.
I guess so.
And then
you might get
a Josh Rosen anyway. Like, so
because there are a lot of that's exactly Josh right. You're coin. That's absolutely right, Sal. That you're coin flipping and you're there are going to be some swings and misses. That's the way it goes. But the problem is when you convince yourself, and we're tracking for that in two spots here. With the Jets and Sam Darnold winning some games now, I think that they happen to be in the two spot now. They have a position of luxury. I don't know exactly. If you look at how it's shaping up there, they could trade down to like 6. Matt Stafford is maybe going to be on the market. My point is that there are suitable replacements all over the place.
There are, but there's
Jets
not 50.
Like
there's
the Bears are about.
Yeah,
the Bears are about to do it. Mitchell Trubisky. They're going to, if they extend that guy, then they deserve what they get.
But like, you just said, it's like, it these guys will say, all right, this is the dilemma. It's like, do we develop a guy who could be good or could be mediocre or could be go from mediocre to very good? Or do we get involved in that coin flip situation every three drafts? And if you do run the numbers on a coin flip every three drafts, probably about the same.
I don't know. Like, where's Kyle Trask and Mac Jones? Where are those guys going to go? There are so many teams that have their guy. Like, my point, I'm sorry to
interrupt
you,
Charlotte. Sam Darnold was the Kyle Trask a few years ago.
So I know, I guess my point is that the Jets, because they're in the two spot, if you look at who's directly behind them in the draft as it slots currently, all those teams behind them, the Bengals, and I forget who all is there, but they all have their guy, they think. So they're not even looking for QBs. You could, if you're the Jets, if you believe in Sam Darnold, there are so many teams that are at some stage with, we have our franchise QB, or we just drafted a guy, so we have to invest in him for the next year or two to see if that plays out. The Chargers are way down. Well, they're not way down there, but they.
I just don't think the Rams will have that luxury of dipping into the draft and saying goodbye to Jared Goff, because they'll never, Sean McVay is not going to let them.
Oh, I see. I think Kyle Trask or Mac Jones will be there for them. I think I think you need to do that. And I think another very interesting team, as we've talked about, is your Cowboys. Do they definitely bring Dak Prescott back?
I think they do.
If the cap is flattish, you bring him back and then you compromise the rest of the roster for a team that's 6-10. It's just very weird. What it is.
You're going to pay your quarterback 20% of the cap, of the $200 million cap.
It's don't just pay a fraud. That's the thing. Don't pay a fraud.
But who's a fraud? Was Josh Allen a fraud last year? He was a fraud, but you let him develop and he's not a fraud. And I know.
Not Dak. Dak's not a fraud. I love him, but the balance of that roster is now so wonky or so weird that I don't know. The Cowboys are in a weird spot going forward. Yeah. But there are other ones, like I say, Mitchell Trubisky is not a top 6 or 8 QB. So if you extend him, you're now playing, if you're the Chicago Bears as an organization, for one magical season where everything breaks just right. Mitchell Trubisky might be good enough to break through and Flacco it for you 1 year. Is he good enough to make you a perennial contender and overcome all the warts on a roster as they ebb and flow? He is not. So then don't invest in him, because that's what happened to the Vikings. That's what's happened to the Rams.
But then they need
a
quarterback. That's just half the equation. Then they have to go get a quarterback and they have to get lucky in the draft. But anyway, sorry, Charlotte. We cut you off a couple of them. What would you say?
No, just I think that involved the ability to decide not to pay someone who might not be great is a luxury. Like you have to have, at a certain point, you just have to make a choice and you have to go with it. And I think that on some level, it also for team morale, like if you're just constantly sort of shifting around, the people don't get to develop chemistry. So I don't know. I mean, maybe you just try it. And then it seems like that's, you need a quarterback and someone's going to pay them. Like, I feel like the economics of the market
mean
that at
them.
Some level, you're going to have to, you can't not pay someone who might not be great.
Yeah. And the Rams and Goff are miserable to watch right now. I disagree. I don't want to see Seattle LA Rams again in the first round.
Well, now after seeing that. Yeah. Now, enough. I mean, guess what? The Rams might do us a favor. And by the way, since we talk about these things all the time, yes, Rodgers is now the MVP, which is funny because 3 weeks ago, please, can we stop this conversation? Obviously, it's Mahomes. And I said, well, what if Mahomes throws 3 interceptions in a week? Not that that was Sal or Charlotte. I wasn't doing it. I'm just saying people decided Mahomes is the
MVP. That's exactly what I sound like.
I actually did say that.
I don't know if it was you.
Look what Mahomes had to do. I knew last night's game would be high profile in the snow, and everybody loves that, and Rodgers just went off. But Mahomes, he buried himself in a weird way, too, because they're winning these games. Like, they're not losing.
I can't remember what the average fan, despite what Chris Collinsworth declared on Sunday Night Football. I got to tell you, I don't think the average football fan understands football. Like, all right, let's condescend. Thank you, Chris. Condescend to all your entire audience. But anyhow, I think that I don't know that there in 2020, I didn't know that there was an epiphany collectively out there in week 16, like the one that we got. Everybody, including me, questioned what the Packers were doing. They take Jordan Love in the first round, and then it felt like, boy, do you really need to address running back there, Packers? You really need the you have Jamal Williams as a nice backup to Aaron Jones, and you know,
and
I watched
Dillon
the same thing
from Boston College. Yeah,
AJ Dillon. I watched him at BC, and it never occurred to me that he was the next Derrick Henry. And then again, I didn't think Derrick Henry was going to make it in the NFL, because the first step or two I assumed, and I guess I'm going to have to shake off of that, and so is everybody else, the idea that like that first step isn't everything. If you can truck guys like that, and but AJ, all of a sudden, like that team's winning the Super Bowl, isn't it? That team's going that team's going to the Super Bowl with,
I feel like
with that all
they
of a
won't
sudden?
They'll not lose a snow game, that's for sure, in Lambeau. So they still have to play week 17. They still have to win to make that happen. But boy, that looks like a great advantage. And I went over the home teams, and they say there's no home team advantage. Well, the Chiefs are going to go 7-1 at home. The same with the Packers. All the teams that take care of business at home. Seattle without a 12th man is going to go 7-1 at home. So maybe it does mean something without the fans. Sorry, fans.
Charlotte and Sal. I called you Shaw.
That's our Hollywood name. Yeah.
Shall.
Right. Sorry, we finally got it there. Charlotte, what's more likely now? All of a sudden, given the way the Chiefs are playing, and let's not overreact, that's what everybody does, and yet let's overreact. Who's more likely not to get to the Super Bowl? The Chiefs, or let's assume it's the Packers and they take care of the Bears. And by the way, I'm sorry to interrupt you with my question I just threw at you, Charlotte, but the one thing I'll say about those big backs is the reason it works, Derrick Henry and A.J. Dillon in this era specifically, it seems to me, is whereas it was very situational when you could throw a big, a guy who's heavier than the guys trying to tackle him out onto the field and have it work, is because of all the sub packages. Everybody's throwing DBs out onto the field constantly, so I guess it makes sense that if Derrick Henry can just defeat the guys, or the O-line can defeat the guys at the line of scrimmage and get your big hefty back into the second level, he can truck all those guys. I guess that does make sense. And it forces your hand as a defense to say, well, I guess we have to put the heavies back in there, and then you throw it over their heads. That's why the Titans work now over almost 2 years. I do think that the key element, Derrick Henry, is eventually the wheels are going to come off there. But who's more likely, Packers with the Saints and the Seahawks looming, or are the Chiefs in actual jeopardy of not reaching the Super Bowl?
I mean, I think the AFC is a tougher division. That's obvious. But I also think that the Packers have had come aparts this season that we haven't seen from the Chiefs. Like, yeah, Mahomes isn't playing the way Mahomes is supposed to play, but they are winning. They're not losing games. And the Packers, you have a game like against the Bucs where Aaron Rodgers just has a complete come apart. I feel like Patrick Mahomes is less likely to do that. Like, I trust him more in a bad situation at this point, even though you've got, you know, the Rodgers Hail Mary. And that could prove to be totally wrong. Like, I feel like I have not given the Packers enough credit this whole season. And then, you know, you look up and you're like, oh shit, the Packers are really good.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers is going to be MVP. So maybe this is just perpetuating that. But I do feel like Mahomes finds ways to save it. And we saw that last year, even in the Super Bowl. So it's hard to say that they're not going to pull it off again.
Well, and FanDuel has the Chiefs at -135 to win the AFC. And that, we know that AFC is crowded, but the Chiefs, they still believe the Chiefs are the Chiefs. And so there's a minus in front of their number, even with the Bills, even with the Steelers, even with the Ravens in contention there. Packers, on the other hand, +200 in a crowded NFC field, not as deep, but with the Saints and Seahawks and Tampa's Bucks in there right behind them.
I mean, we are tracking, Sal, to the divisional round. There's a possibility, at least, that you're going to have the big four guys, Breeze, Rodgers, Brady, Russ, going head-to-head and head-to-head. I don't know
fun.
Exactly. What a thing! Something's going to screw that up. Washington is the one who I'm looking at. Don't you screw this up, Maroon 4. That's fun if you win the division and everything, but don't screw this up for the divisional round. Let's get the heavyweight QBs going head to head in the NFC. No.
The NFC East is going to wreak havoc. It's going to keep sowing chaos through the playoffs. Like, it's going to be awful. Like, an NFC East team is going to get to the NFC Championship.
Alex Smith and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. And it's just, and we're going to have to sit with that.
I know. And it's going to stink. And I don't want it. And I stay away, Bears. No one wants you either. I'm sorry. You're fun and everything. And I love Chicago. Don't get mad at me.
I get nervous. I don't want to bet against that team. Trubisky will light it up one game. You'll see. I think we need to take a water break. I could see it on our faces. Crown Royal believes being a Royal fan this season means staying safe, generously supporting your community, and drinking responsibly while rooting on your team. That's how to crown your game day. My Crown Royal athlete of the week is Alvin Kamara. And I might be saying that wrong. Might be Kamara.
Alvin 41.
Number 41 had 54.7 fantasy points for me. It helped, boy, did it ever, in beating Bill Simmons in the inaugural Larchmont League. There you go. Dave, I owe you.
I hate fantasy. I don't care anyway. I don't like to play it. It's dumb.
I owe you. I owe you, Dave, because if you didn't kick him out, I wouldn't have joined this league, and I wouldn't have won so many probably hundreds of dollars.
You stink. You all stink. You and your friend Simmons and your friend Hench, you're all traitors. Enjoy the Blockbuster Awards. I just won the Oscar.
Supposed to be relaxing with the water right now. Right. Alvin Kamara, 6 touchdowns, 22 carries, 155 yards, add 17 receiving yards. That is my Crown Royal athlete of the week. Now, are the Saints back? Is their offense back? I don't know. I don't care. Alvin got me 54.7, and that's all I care about, and that's enough to get him my Crown Royal athlete of the week. Charlotte, who you got?
My Crown Royal athlete of the week is someone who did not play in the NFL, but was very much affected by it. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. Trevor Lawrence. Mm. Congrats on not having to play for the Jets. He's the Jags officially have the number one pick. He's probably going to end up in Jacksonville. And I do not see Trevor Lawrence thriving in New York or New Jersey. He's a Jacksonville guy. He can live on a houseboat. He's a state away from his home state of Georgia, 2 states away from Clemson. He can keep hanging out with Dabo. I just think this is going to be great. The Jaguars have a kind of chaotic energy that I think Trevor will really, really thrive in. So congrats. You don't have to go to New York. Maybe the Jags will bring back that neon blue hamburger bun just for Trevor.
I love how you pretend to not know geography. You're these 1 state away from here.
I Googled that. I had no idea before last night. I was like, what's next to Florida? I don't know. Kansas?
You know the Southeast.
I'm a coastal elite. I'm the worst.
All right, Dave, looking ahead, Monday night, who's your athlete of the week?
Well, I don't know about Trevor Lawrence thriving in New York, but one Josh Allen has in Western New York, to be specific. Mm-hmm. And he has led the way. He's been the star for America's Team 2020. Sal continues to reside in round about 1980 and supporting the other former America's Team. They may win a division, but the real deal is the Buffalo Bills. We embrace them, not just because they wear red, white, and blue. They finally did it. They vanquished the dragon in red, white, and blue and some silver, too. The New England Patriots, as they square off with them, it will be a party for them. They are trying to hold on to the 2 seed to ward off the Pittsburgh Steelers behind. And I say Josh Allen's the main man, but the guy who's been there for the last 4 years, 3 playoff appearances. Let's remember, the Bills, kind of in the 21st century, up until that point, were tracking to be like the Jets or the Browns. Now, all of a sudden, they're a powerhouse thanks to Sean McDermott. How about a shout out for him? Mm. The only thing with him is, head coaches, in an era when a lot of them, like Mike Vrabel and Sean McVay even, are getting more and more buff and they're handsome coaches, I think Sean McDermott needs to go the way of like a big league closer. He looks too much like Caillou. He's not intimidating enough. He needs a Fu Manchu or a woolly beard or something like that, or a terrible toupee like the late, great Hank Stram. Something, because that's the only thing we're missing from this Bills team right now is an intimidating head coach. Do that, Sean McDermott. Otherwise, you're Oakley Dokley with me, Bills fans. If the Steelers can't get over the hump this year, I hope it's your turn to go to the Super Bowl and win it. And I don't care against who. It will be a victory for the US of A.
Might I recommend the Mike McCarthy look for Sean McDermott? He could do
it. Okay.
He could probably do it in a couple months. He could probably get it going.
Focus is for an entire offseason on pizzas and wings and everything. He's in the right place to do it.
Take a lot of effort, but he could do it. Yeah. All right. There you go. Those are our Crown Royal Athletes of the Week.
Drink water.
Yeah. Drink a lot of water. Crown Royal is a perfect addition to your NFL game day. Don't forget, stay hydrated, as Charlotte just mentioned. Drink responsibly. For more tips on how to crown your game day, visit at Crown Royal on Instagram. I went to college in a place called Oswego, New York, which is about 30 miles from Syracuse. And those people would get crazy, Charlotte. They're like, I was like, this is upstate. This is 5.5 hours from where I live downstate.
How is it not north? It's north of
It's upstate. South. They're like, no, it's central New York. I was like, okay, let's think about this. Can you go 5.5 hours north and still be in New York? Like, no, you could go 1.5 hours and still be in New York and that's it. And then otherwise you're in Canada. I'm like, okay, this is not central. By no way is it central New York.
Thank you. I wrote about Bills fans last week and, you know, some dudes in my mentions being like, oh, Bills are upstate, try Western. And I was
what
like,
what Western? What? There's no way. It's a block. World, it's man. Not even West. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, as I said, geography really isn't my strong suit. I once took a quiz of, you know, you had to say which state was which just by looking at it with no words. And yeah. It was very difficult. But still, I do think that if you're north of a place that
drives me
up.
Crazy. Yes. Central is easy to dictate, right? Like the equator, most of half the earth is above it. Half is below it. That's upstate America. Yeah. We're upstate America.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if Buffalo's in the west or it's up, but this one tonight against the Patriots going under. I like
it. Oh, really?
Right. The Patriots, I was surprised, Sal, because you floated out. Should you go Aaron Rodgers or Josh Allen? Mm-hmm. I know Gilmore and it feels like this is, I mean, week 16, the Patriots are what they are. And they, it feels like that they make every game a knuckler and that's what they'll do.
Oh, right.
Do you guys want to know how much I'm looking forward to this game?
I do.
So much. I can't wait to watch that doesn't mean anything. Like, why are we even playing this game? Once you're out of the playoffs, why do you have to keep playing your games?
Let me just say, it's not fun to have a primetime game for a bad team you root for.
No, so what are we doing?
You're looking forward. Oh, I see. You're
JJ Watt would not like you. JJ, yeah. You hear his speech about like,
yeah, and you know what I say to JJ? Okay, cool. Glad that you want to work hard for your fans. I have trouble. Like, it's embarrassing to play the Bills in a primetime game when there's no hope. And you just have, like, what are you going to do? Just, like, mess up their season? They already won the division. Like, what is the point? Why would you play this game?
I think they have to play the games. They have to play the game. Yeah. I think they're trying to play all the games.
I think that's stupid. I think that if a game is pointless, you should be like, hey.
Really?
You know, yeah. I don't want to watch it. Who wants this?
I want to watch it. Everybody who likes to see Bill Belichick suffer would might want to watch it.
That was a stupid question on my part, but I as a Pats fan, I do not want this.
FanDuel has the Patriots as a 7-point underdog. Dave, 46.5 is the over under.
It's a lot of points. It's too many points against the Patriots. I'm staying away from the spread. I'm telling you, under is the play here.
You know,
I don't know. Like 7 points is a lot against the Patriots. The way their games have tracked the last couple of months.
What do you mean? They got killed by the what happened? The Chargers killed them, right? No, they killed the Chargers. I'm trying to think. They lost 22-12 to the Dolphins last week.
Yeah, but you know, they're going to win. The Pats are going to win this game, which doesn't mean anything. Oh. And it's going to be like, why didn't you do that in the regular season? I would prefer they lose. Just lose. Lose this game.
Ugh. All right, well, let me set the table for everyone. Charlotte last Monday called the Bengals beating the Steelers, and now she's saying the Patriots will upset the Bills, knocking them to a 3 seed. Dave, then you really don't have to worry about playing next week, right?
Well, yeah, it is intriguing, and I don't know, it's a weird one that you recurringly come back to that I'm crazy about this, Sal, but the bummer for me, as soon as the Steelers start to do well, is man, the Chiefs really were right there. We could have gotten them. And the Chargers may well beat the Chiefs in week 17. And that would have been intriguing stuff. I think that the Roethlisberger and company aren't going to play. But if the Bills do lose this one, as Charlotte predicts, it is interesting. I don't think they'll ultimately mess with it no matter what, Pittsburgh. But it does have meaning to answer the question, because Buffalo presumably would rather be the two seed.
I know, but still.
But also, like, who do you want? Like, those I really got it with Flores, and, you know, like, they're ambiguous in what they would be if you had to face them in the first round of the playoffs. They feel less scary because of Tua and the relative anonymity of the
For
players
sure.
that they throw out there.
That's the team you want to play, Colts, the Dolphins. If you're the Steelers, you got to play the Dolphins. That's the least scary offense.
I don't want the Colts.
Score 20 and beat them. Yeah.
Right. I don't want the Colts.
No.
I don't want the Browns, but Ravens. I definitely do not want the Ravens, because that's the best team. And I also don't want the gravity of that whole rivalry, and we beat them twice, but they did that'll make me crazy.
I get the rivalry thing. I'm not maybe on board that the Ravens are definitely back to what they were. They beat up on a couple bad teams, and they won that high profile Monday night game against the Browns where Lamar crapped himself. But
I just think I know. I say it all the time, but if they have a healthy Calais Campbell up front on that defense, it's potentially dominant. And I also think there's nothing you can do to control it, because there's so many variables with all the different games. But if you're the Bills or Pittsburgh, you got to be thinking, like, Mike, Jesus, we got to play the Ravens in the first round, in the wild card round. That sucks, whoever catches that team.
Yep.
I would not want to play that offense in the first round of the playoffs.
You know what doesn't suck? This Buffalo New England game, what FanDuel is doing. Did you guys hear what they're doing? They're facing off Monday night. FanDuel Sportsbook's giving you a chance to get a bigger win when you bet the game. For every 2,500 fans who bet on Buffalo to cover, whether they're in Western New York or Northern New York, Charlotte, doesn't matter. Mm. For every 2,500 fans who bet on them, FanDuel will move the line 1 point in Buffalo's favor. There's no limit to how good this line can get. So this can and will get to Bills like +23.5. As long as enough fans keep betting, the line will keep on moving. Best of all, they pay you out whatever the line lands at by kickoff, so you don't have to wait to get in on the action. That's unbelievable, Dave. And then, not only that, you got your same day parlay, same game parlays. You take the under 46.5.
I'm definitely going under on this, yes.
Charlotte, you want to take your Patriots to win?
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
That is a bet that I would be willing to make with myself, but I would feel bad dragging the parlay into it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I gotcha.
All right. I'm trying to think what's a bet in game I can do that's not okay. Can I bet the Bills to score first?
You can. It's somewhere in there. Yes, it is. You can bet
the Bills are going to score first.
Dave is taking the under, and I'm taking Josh Allen to score at some point during the night. It doesn't have to be a first touchdown. It has to be a running or receiving touchdown for him at +150.
I feel good about this, but for the record, I am taking the Patriots.
All right, for the record,
you know what I'll throw out. This is a little bit of a wild card. Zach Moss. They're going to try to establish him more and more as the playoffs draw nigh. I feel like, you know, copycat league or otherwise, I think they look at the Packers like they got to find some ability to run the ball a little bit, and I think that they'll seek to do that tonight.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun game. Unlike Charlotte, I think they should play this one. I do. Mm-hmm. There's some that I don't think should be played, but this one I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, like the Cowboys game?
Yeah, exactly. Next week's Cowboys game is one of them.
Just cancel the bad ones.
Hey, if you already have a FanDuel Sportsbook account, just look for the Spread the Love market to place your bet. And if you've been holding out, then here's your chance to start betting on FanDuel with incredible odds. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with code Extra Points. That's FanDuel Sportsbook promo code Extra Points. All right, we're going to have one more show on Wednesday, and then New Year's Day, we're going to be off. What do you think of that? Is that a good idea?
I feel great about that.
Yeah, we got to focus in. We got to focus in on the mighty Notre Dame Fighting Irish going in to play Alabama out here in our backyard, Sal.
I would love to focus on that, Dave, but Fox Bet Live has us working. We're doing a show during Notre Dame Alabama. We're competing with the second quarter of that game. I don't know who the hell's watching us, but God bless.
Why not move it up in the day? You got to do it before the game.
Something, anything, right? There's actually games all day, but yes, that and the Clemson, Ohio State, which is at night, should be the ones they should steer clear of. All right, Dave, what you got going on otherwise?
Follow at Damashek, Shecker season. It's really been, like I say, a festive one, despite the bad year that it happened in. We're bringing it on home here. I'm looking for Stephon Diggs to go to not have a good game. If I do that, the Cool Cats will win another title, and then it will truly be the year of the Cats. But the biggest news, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention here, the Shecky Awards are coming up before Sal, before you watch Sal and Bonetta and company on their show on New Year's Day, you'll be able to hear the Shecky Awards. A lot of good categories still yet to be decided, including the granddaddy of them all, Fruit of the Year.
Oh.
Subscribe, -3. Get in the -3 now. We'll hand out all the awards before the ball drops in Times Square on New Year's Eve.
Charlotte. Exciting. At the Wilder Things, do you have a you want to influence Dave either way on his Fruit of the Year decision?
No, because I really want to see what he would come up with. I want to keep it pure. I'm intrigued. I don't want to do any lobbying, actually. But yeah, I'm at the Wilder Things. We have a year in review People Sports podcast coming out this week. I wrote a fake diary of Trevor Lawrence on the Fox Sports app, which is a thing that is, it turned into Blake Bortles is selling him a houseboat in Jacksonville. I mean, I really went a little off the rails. So read that if you want something that's hopefully funny. And then, thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thanks for hanging with us. And you only have one more day this week and this year. And we hope you have a happy and healthy and safe New Year, and everyone's wants it. Oh, goodbye, 2020. So long. Like, January 21 is not going to be much different than December 2020.
Yeah, January 21 is going to be worse. Sorry.
Yep. Sorry. There you go. But anyway, listen, I don't want you to feel like underdogs. I want to remind you, if you do, please remember, you're all my favorites. We'll see you Wednesday.